Well, good evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord getting us all here safely this evening and being part of what He's doing. Joshua chapter 3. As we begin to look in verse 1, the theme of this chapter, of course, is crossing Jordan. They're going to cross Jordan in this chapter. And we see the preparation of it, which we're going to read about and look at tonight. And then we're going to see the prediction that's made about it in verses 7 down through 13. And the production of what they said they're going to do. God's going to carry the thing out and make sure it happens. And I told you the theme is crossing Jordan, but I could easily say that the theme of this chapter is God said we could.
Amen.
God said we could. Key verse is verse 5. We'll read it here in a minute. And of course, this chapter, 17 verses, 566 words. This particular chapter is a 10.6 grade level. All of us inspired, preserved forever in our King James Bible. And as we look out tonight in verse 1, we look in the Word of God, it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people." Now, as you notice tonight, he's getting them ready to do something. That's what I want us to look at tonight is preparing for the future. Preparing for the future. The future is always ahead of us. You all have one. And we want to make sure that as Christians that we follow the Lord and we prepare for the future. If you're here and you're lost tonight, you need to prepare for the future. There is one ahead of you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us with this tonight. Father, we come to You. We pray, God, that You'll move and do a great work. And Lord, show us the great things out of the Word of God, which we know not. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, that You'll give us that understanding of the Word of God that we need. Lord, that You'd help us to understand everything that we look at tonight. God, that You'd expound and expose the truth to us. And Lord, pray tonight, God, You'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank You in advance for everything You're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for His sake. Amen. As we look tonight about preparing for the future, there's definitely something we see here in this little section right here. And that's the fact that nobody knew what was going to happen. They had never been this way before. And as we look at preparing for the future, I'm going to show you how you prepare for the future. Number one, in verse one, you start out early. Start out early. Now, here's the thing for you. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed." It says, they came to Jordan and all that, and they lodged before the Passover. But notice when he started. Early. You need to start out early on your journey for the Lord. Say, "Well, I'm 50 years old and I just got saved." Start out early today. "So I just got saved 10 minutes ago." Start out right now. Yeah. Don't ever discount yourself and say, "Well, I'm too old to do anything for God," because you're not. Just start out early doing it, whatever it is you're doing. No. Don't try to wait and jump into the middle of something. Start out early with the Lord. Listen, they say people I know that they don't do a whole lot of stuff for the Lord, and they would probably be passed over by this world by what they do, but they do the basic things so well that nobody sees them doing them. And they're doing a lot for Jesus on that end. And that's something a lot of folks don't do. They don't take care of the basics, and they want to delve into the deeper things and all that stuff. And they won't even take care of the basic things. Listen, just take care of what God's already got you doing. I had a guy tell me one time that he had gotten shot and that he didn't know why the Lord left him here, but he left him for a reason. I said, "How long ago has that been?" He said, 40 years. I said, "It looks like you'd be finding out before now." Right. He said, "I know, right?" I said, "I know." He said, "I'm going to get on that." I said, "Get on that. 40 years, a long time to recover from a fatal gunshot wound and not know what God left you here for. Listen, find out. God wants His people to know and follow Him. How about this? Out of all these people that make all the difference and all this other stuff and all these public Christian figures you see, when we get to heaven, the biggest rewards are going to go to them people you've never heard of. They lived for God on the backside of the desert and prepared people like Moses to go out. That's all they did in their life. And see, when we look at there, listen, the spiritual lesson for Christians in this verse, literally, is that there should be a time of rest and preparation before the battle. See, there's a lot of good things that we tell people to do. Do you believe it's okay to read the Bible? That's a good thing. Yeah. You believe it's right to pray? Mm-hmm. Okay, read the Bible, pray. Before you start your day out, get along with God, do them things. Say, well, I don't know how. I don't know if now I lay me down to sleep is a good morning prayer, but try it out and see. I mean, do what you know. And listen, if you want to really get into the thing, do it like this. Take you a chapter of the Bible a day and read that thing and go back and ask yourself some simple questions about it. Who was talking? Who were they talking to? When did it take place? What was their immediate surroundings and context of what they were saying? And how do I make this apply to my life today, Lord? So that ain't deep. You don't have to go deep to get this.
Amen.
Listen, when it comes to wearing gold rings, it don't matter if you got 2 carat or 10 carat or 20 carat. Gold is gold, baby. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now watch this. I'd look in there and I'd say, Lord, what's this got to do with me today? But I wouldn't ask that first. I'd ask that last. I'd want to see what the Bible said first, because too many people come to the Bible and I say things like this. Well, this is what it says to me. No, it don't. You're taking that out of context doing that. Get alone, spend some quiet time with God, and say, God, what was going on here? See what it says first before you try to do your private interpretation and make it talk to you.
Amen.
So I don't understand the Bible. Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God helps you understand the Bible. And if you have problems with the language it's wrote in, that don't mean get a new translation. That means get a dictionary.
Right.
Make it easy on yourself. Listen, don't be trying to look at 27 different volumes to find out what God said. Look at one and see what God said. And I see here it's just too plain in that verse what they did, where they was headed, and who it was going. Preparing for the battle. They started out early. You and I need to start out early with this thing. And listen to this. In verse 2 it says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And what they looked at when they walked through there, this is about their surroundings here. When they walked up and they saw that Jordan River, at the time of year it was, the mountains had all that snow that melted, went down into it, and came down through that way. And boy, that thing was swelled up to the banks. You ever seen them white water rafting river coming down? That's what they were looking at. Now, if you're one of them children of Israel, and you know you got to cross over that thing, and they ain't got no bridge for you to cross over, here comes these guys, what they say they was in there in verse 2? The officers, the head of the armies there. They come walking through. What are they going to tell these people? Get you a kayak? Good luck wading this one? They don't have to wade at all. They can walk over on dry land. So how do we know that? God said they could. And if God said they could, they're going to walk over on dry land. You say, wait a minute, this sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah, this guy named Moses, remember him? They parted the Red Sea and walked over on dry land. Remember that?
Yeah.
The only people that may have saw that at that time is Joshua and Caleb, and they might have been too little to remember it. What about that? Mm-hmm. Or they might have been young children. But the rest of the 2.5 million people has never seen it on this fashion before.
Right.
They don't know what they're getting into. All they know is they got to start out early. Their leaders are starting out early. They need to start out early. And it says in verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. I got to studying this thing and looking at Bible typology for the Old Testament. I see something here. When you get saved, you and I look this way to get saved. We look towards heaven to the Son of God who came here, laid His life down a sacrifice for us, a sinless Son of God, born of a virgin, died a blood atoning death for us, rose again the third day, went back to heaven. We say, Lord, will You save us? We're looking this way. But I see this ark here. And as your Christian life progresses, like they're progressed through this wilderness headed towards Jordan here, the ark in this verse is kind of like a type of your body. You've got precious cargo inside once you saved. That treasure in earthen vessels is not your precious little heart. It's the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
He's the treasure. And knowing that he typifies our body, as in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Jesus lives in us by the Holy Spirit of God, according to Colossians 1:27, or if you're from the country, the Holy Ghost. Right? And we see that the Holy Spirit guides us through the truth that is God's Word in John 16:13, where he guides us into all truth. So what we see there is now, instead of our leadership up here, our leadership is a treasure in earthen vessels down here where we can follow. Where everybody gets out of line in this day and age is this. They keep looking this way for leadership, and they ignore what God put on the ground for them to look at. And when they don't look at this, they're chasing new revelations, new this and new that, and fancy dreams and all this other stuff. Can I let you on something tonight? Your dreams are only consistent by what you ate before you went to bed. You boys eat all that hot stuff, you know what y'all get? Y'all get Freddy Krueger in your dreams. You had to run from him and everything else. Or are they taking your pennies away? Which one of y'all dreams that? Some of y'all dreams that they're stealing my money, my pennies, and your little brown fingertips are just dying. You can't get a hold of them. Does that sound like anybody here? What you laughing for, lady? I see you laughing right now. Listen to me. I look at this thing right here and I see this. We got to realize God put our leadership down here. The Bible does not say follow a man with whatever he says blindly. The man, this God man, says, follow me as I follow Christ, and he follows him here. Not through feelings, not through dreams, not through visions, but through the very word of God that God gave, where it is very consistent, and there's not a lot of, well, I wonder what God's left me here for 40 years for. Amen?
Amen.
It's very simple. And when we realize that what God did is he put the Holy Spirit of God down here to guide us in the truth, the Word of God, and that he's our teacher, we can come to this book and see what God's got to say at any time. And guess what? If you was on an island by yourself and you didn't have a soccer ball to talk to and you had a Bible, you'd be okay.
Right.
You'd have the same Word of God we got right here.
Amen.
And you'd make it.
Right.
Listen to this. We start out early. But then you got something in verse 4 and 5 here. Not only start out early when we're getting prepared, you're getting ready to see the extraordinary. When you start walking with God, you can guarantee this. There's going to be some things that happen that are not ordinary things. Years ago, I met a man who had a heart replacement surgery back when that wasn't a common thing. And he told me one day when this is back in the 80s, he said, this happened. He said, he's in there having this surgery. He's going to have that surgery. He said, in the Spartanburg hospital, though, they kind of dim the lights in the evening in the hallways and stuff. And they want you to turn out your light and everybody to get rest, except for every 10 minutes when they're sticking a needle in you. Amen. That's so what do you got? What do you want out of the hospital for? I want to get some rest. They're killing me in here, waking me up every 10 minutes, day and night. Right. But he said this. He said that he got in there that night and said the devil began to show up and deal with him, telling him he's going to die on the operating table. And he just sat there and thought, man, that'd be horrible. And he kept going on this thing about, if you got, he said, but when you get your new heart, you ain't going to die. You ain't even going to live 6 months after you get it. And he hadn't said nothing all night. And he was just sitting there thinking about all this stuff. And he finally said, you know what, devil? He said, I'm tired of listening to you lie to me. First, this ain't going to work. And now you're telling me after I get it, I can live 6 months. You lied on both accounts. You don't know what's going on. He said, I went ahead and had that surgery. And I know the man that, I know he at least lived 25 years after that. He may still be alive now. Ain't God good? That's a little bit longer than 6 months that the devil gave, wasn't it? Hey, you get to see the extraordinary. And in verse number 4, it says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, talking about that Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. And he tells us about that 2,000 cubits by measure. You're looking at about 3,000 feet, or there's going to be a half a mile in between that Ark of the Covenant, those priests carrying it, and the people that's got to follow it. Don't get any closer. Don't fall back any further. That space. And he says about it, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way before. Per God's leading instructions in that verse, this was where they were to go and how they were to follow. So that don't make any sense. Why wouldn't they walk up right with it? I don't know, but God said do it this way.
Right.
Wouldn't it make more sense if the people helped carry that thing? And I don't know about all that, but I know God told them to do it this way. And I see there that this problem that we have that starts with us is when we get behind something, we're following the way the Lord's supposed to, we start backing off, we get to following too far off. There's a guy in your Bible named Peter in Matthew chapter 27. The Bible said he followed afar off.
Right.
You know what Peter's problem was? He wasn't supposed to be following right then at all. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be somewhere else, but yet he's going to follow, and then he followed afar off. That reminds me of how people do with the Lord now. They want the blessings of heaven. They want the blessings of Abraham, but they want to live a life like Lot and just follow when it's convenient. You can't follow it. You got to follow the Lord when the Lord says follow Him. One of the greatest truths of the Christian life is this. We may not all have to walk the same path, but we're all following the same God, and He's leading through the same Word, and He's telling us all what to do and when to do it, and He ain't never lost one along the way. I don't understand sometimes why when these missionaries get on the field, they get over there and they have to encounter some of the things they do. But I know this, God directs that thing. He puts them on the field where He wants them, and they get to see the extraordinary. They get to live for Him in places that are something maybe we only read books about. But yet the same God that led Joshua is the same God to lead them, and He's the same God to lead you. The extraordinary that they're going to see may not be the extraordinary that missionary sees or extraordinary you see, but to everyone involved it's extraordinary to look at because the extraordinary God did it.
Right.
And I want you to notice this. Christians cannot hear what God says because they follow too far behind, and when God tells them something, they can't hear it at all. Listen. Isaiah said it like this, draw nigh. Draw nigh. Why? Because you won't be able to hear what the Lord says.
Right.
I learned something over the years, and I want to share this wisdom with you tonight that will be really a help to you. You know what the words we use most in the house is? You ready for it? Most used word in my house. What? Because see, she'll be three rooms over and say, Greg, and I'll hear something. Greg. What is that? What? Any of y'all suffer with this same affliction? Everybody does, right? But I have noticed something. I was kidding. She don't whisper. She hollers, and I can't help it. She's saying Jordan or Greg. In the last few years, I can't make it out, so I just holler, what? Just go ahead and get it out of the way. But I have found that this out. If I'm in there with her, she's in here with me, we ain't got to holler, what? Closer we get, the better we understand one another.
Right.
And my dear friend, the closer you get to the Lord, you'll see the extraordinary. You'll be able to hear what He's telling you to do, and that life won't be so bad.
Right.
I've met people that complain about everything. Lord have mercy. Do y'all remember just a few months ago, it was 90 degrees. I was complaining about how hot it was. I got a call from the same guy that was complaining back in July. I called me the other day and said, man, it's cold out here. I said, yeah, it's just bad, ain't it? And then some days we wake up in town and it's overcast and it looks all dreary looking and all this other stuff. It's just got all them rain clouds and no rain. And you can, as you go through the town, you can see people's faces. They're all downtrodden looking and all this other stuff and all that. And then the next day the sun's shining and somebody's complaining it's too bright out. I just wondered if John the Baptist run a revival meeting at his church and had Apostle Paul come preach for him, would they complain about the starting time? Some people would. They'd come, well, it starts too early, it starts too late, service too long, service too short. They complain about everything. But when we get close to God, we're not there to complain to Him. We're there to see the extraordinary. I've noticed something. God does things different than we do them. You know what our commander says to us? Joshua told them to go do this thing right here, but our commander says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, follow me. Follow me. Real simple. Well, how close you want me, Lord? As close as you can get. Follow me. When those disciples walked with him for 3.5 years, you know how they knew about the extraordinary? They were close. Do you know who saw that first miracle where Jesus turned the water into wine? Do you know who saw that thing first? The dudes that got the water in the pot, the servants. You want to see the extraordinary? Get close and start serving him. You'll see some things, God turning some things around. He can. I remember years ago having to pray for money and different things over this building and getting it paid for and all that. You know what God did? He just kind of pumped some of the gold off the streets of heaven. It landed down here and we paid the building off. Like it wasn't nothing to him. It was, had all us tore up. Looked like a miracle when it was happening. God just said, there you go. Had to go to God before and say, Lord, I read where Dr. Harry Ironside said that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, like the Bible says. And I read where that man of God said, Lord, I need you to sell some cattle because we need something. And it ain't a want, it's a need. God just scrape a little bit off and throw it your way. So what is that? That's extraordinary. To God, it's nothing. But to us, that's extraordinary. That's God moving. Hey, listen. When you go to the dry cleaners and somebody's been good to you, and if you're like me, you just take stuff, you throw it in the bag, take it up there, you know. It's not like I wear a $700 suit, so if they mess them up, it's okay. I mean, Goodwill has more, right? But you go up there and you come back, and the lady's dry cleaners, you walk in, and she's looking at you like you got two heads, and you're looking at her like, what's going on? Is, you know, and she looks at you and says, there was this thing in your pocket. And I'm thinking, oh, no, what was in my pocket? I'm thinking, did I leave one of them Laffy Taffys or something, and it's done drooled all out the side of them machines, or an ink pen? I've done that before. It had a big old blue spot right here. She said, no, that was this $100 bill here. I put it in this envelope because I couldn't believe you left it in your pocket. Were you testing us? Yeah, that's what it was. I was testing you. I had no idea it was there. Somebody decided to be a blessing and didn't tell me. You know what God did? He gave it, then protected it, because he can protect what he gives to you too. God's just that way about it. So what is that? That's not ordinary. That's extraordinary. So why does God do that? I don't know. I'd want to thump our heads if I was God, but God don't look at things like we do, does he? I look at that and I see we see the extraordinary. Watch this in verse number 5. And Joshua said to the people, two words, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves refers to separation. If you hold your place here at Joshua, I want to show you this thing in the Bible. Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Long before Joshua was born, God shows us this. And this separation he's talking about, Genesis chapter 35. He says in Genesis chapter 35, verse 2, says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Whoa, whoa. Let me read that again. Put away the what? Strange gods. Wait a minute. That's Israel. That's Jacob. What are they doing with those strange gods? They're wandering in places they shouldn't be. They're falling too far off. And now they want to see the extraordinary. Before they could see the extraordinary, they had to get rid of the gods that was with them. They had to separate themselves. They had to have standards about them. Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Now, if anybody ever tells you that cleanliness is next to godliness is not in the Bible, I see him tell that crowd to be clean. Don't you see that? I jest, but he did say take a bath. Amen. I ran into this bailiff up at the courthouse one time, and he knew one of my uncles. You know what he said? He said, don't you know such and such? And I didn't know they were related. That was his brother. I said, yeah, I know him. He said, you tell him. I said, go take a bath. I said, why is that? He said, because he stinks. He said, I got a badge. I said, I'll tell him. And I went and told him. He said, why did that guy say that in public like that? I said, I don't know, but he said it. And he showed me his badge. He showed me his gun. So I'm telling you, I'm just passing it along, friend. You know what the devil just told you? Well, what if that guy didn't have no soap? What if he had no this? That guy only had $5 million in the bank. He had money for soap. Don't you let the devil fool you tonight. Put away them strange gods among you, whatever they may be. He said, be clean and change your garments. Why is that? Because these people in Genesis 35, when they start out Jacob, they look like heathens. He said, be clean, change your garments. By the way, you know this guy named Moses that shows up in the Bible? When he was out there in on the backside of the desert out there, when he first got there, he went to run them boys off that's trying to steal that water from them women and all that stuff. And they said, we know this guy's an Egyptian by how he dresses. People will know what you are by the garments you wear. And I see here that the example here is what God says, do as change your garments. If you look at Romans chapter 12, you should have this memorized. I know you do, so I'm just going to review for you. Romans chapter 12. We'll make sure you follow in the Lord now. Romans chapter 12. If you look in verse 1. Here's what your Bible says do. He says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your, what is that word?
Bodies.
He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He didn't even ask you for your time yet. He just asked you for your body. So how much? 10%? No, he wants all of it. Your whole body. Everything. And if you were thinking tonight about getting eyelashes like Tammy Faye Baker, looking like a Polaroid camera from the 70s, don't do that. That's not presenting your body to the Lord. That's clown dressing. Right? They do that at Ringling Brothers. Don't do that to get your job more. Unless, of course, you work for Ringling Brothers, but I think they went out of business. But anyway, he says, and be not conformed to this world. Why is that? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. That you may prove what? The will of God. Wait a minute. So who are we proving this to? You. God already knows the will of God. And when you start getting closer to Him, again, we go back to the basic things. Did y'all say it's okay to read the Bible a while ago? Did y'all say that?
Yeah.
Did y'all say it's okay to pray a while ago, right? So if we get in the Bible, we're praying, we're letting ourselves be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're changing our mind to fit this book. We're getting the mind of Christ. We're following Jesus now. And what I see is we're going to see the extraordinary, because he said before we can see it, sanctify yourselves. You know why you ain't seeing God do much? You haven't sanctified yourself. You haven't set yourself apart where God can use you for something. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm here. Do with me what you will. He will. He'll use you for anything. But the problem we keep running into again is that we don't sanctify ourselves and we keep spinning in the same mud hole. I backed up in a guy's yard, and listen to this. I had a fella die. His wife called and said, can you do the funeral? I said, sure will. I took that big old Mercury I used to have, drove out to their place, went down this long dirt road, got out there, and I'm glad I didn't make them mad. At least that day. Because when I backed up out of that driveway, I went right in this mud hole. And they was all in the house. I was out there by myself, and I thought, no problem. I'll just get out of it before he realized anything. So I put her down in drive and went forward. But it didn't go forward. So I put it in reverse. I thought, well, I'll just back out of it. It went in reverse and didn't come out of it. And then it dawned on me, my car was sitting on either side of that mud hole. And it was just spinning water. There wasn't no, I didn't have no traction on nothing. I thought, well, ain't this a fine thing to get into? Here, I'm going to have to try to minister to these people with a dead relative. And all of a sudden, I'm out here in the yard, stuck in their yard. So I decided that before I would tear up my car, I would just humble myself and walk in there and see if they had a chain or something. You know, they had several four-wheel drive trucks. I figured one of them would pull me out, you know. Yes, sir. And I went over there and I knocked on the door and they said, we was watching you from the window and seeing how soon you'd give up. I realized something. With no traction, the wheels don't go nowhere. They got to meet something. And your faith has got to meet sight in the Word of God. You've got to see it in the Word of God and take that thing in so you don't sit there and spin your wheels. Did you see who the examples for? What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Can I tell you something? You know how the first way you notice somebody's getting away from God? They start looking at backslid people saying, well, they do it. Why can't I do it? Peter said about John over in John chapter 21. He said, Lord, if I got to die on a cross, how's John going to die? What shall this man do? And Jesus looked him right in his God-given eyeballs and said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.
Right.
Don't matter what John's going to do. You need to follow me.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of times that you go through down times in your life and it seems like everything's against you. But see, God's still there and he's proven something to you. You think you're an example for everybody else, but really God's got to start with you and prove it to you. And when people come up and say, well, what about such and such? And they question. I know where the questions come from. They come from Genesis chapter 3. You know how it goes? Yea, hath God said. I heard somebody say one time, when God's going to do something and tell you something, he's going to command you. If it's the devil, he's going to question what you're doing and question everybody around you. You'll feel like you're in the FBI. You'll be grilled on so many questions. And you'll think, well, they are doing it. Why can't I do it? That's another thing, too. That's what all the convicts say, too, I believe. Well, I got caught doing this. Why ain't y'all out getting that guy? You know, hear a really good one? All them people that speed down the road and get caught, you know what they say to the cop? Hey, man, why you getting a crack dealer, cocaine dealer? And you know what the guy that does traffic says? Y'all know this because half of it is guilty. Listen, he tells you when you tell him that, we got a division for that. My division is taking care of this. Mind your business.
Amen.
Listen, these people told me before, they said such and such cusses in the pulpit. And I asked the Lord, can I cuss too, Lord? He did it. You know what the Lord tells me? Why would you want to do that, dummy? That's stupid. Why would you want to blaspheme the name of God in the pulpit for? Well, Lord, everybody else is doing it. So, preacher, that sounds like a child. Are you getting it now?
Yeah.
And I see he said to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Now, and go back over to Joshua chapter 3. We're about done with this thing, and I'm about to get way up in here with this thing, and I'm about to leave something out here, and I don't want to miss this. He says, sanctify yourselves in verse 5. And he says this here. Not only sanctify yourselves, but he says this, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Those wonders are going to be some miraculous things that nobody else gets to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, God says the signs were given to the Jew. Guess what you got standing right here? Every one of them there. They come from one of 12 tribes. They're all descendants of Jacob, you know, the whole thing. So God's going to give them a miraculous wonders to look at. There's not a charismatic in the bunch, by the way. That ain't given the Gentiles, that's given the Jews.
Amen.
See, if people understood the Bible like they claim they do, they would realize that all the Bible's written for us, but not all the Bible's written to us. And we look here, and this Jew, Joshua, is telling these Jewish people that God's going to do wonders among you. And you'll find that throughout the Old Testament. They got to see stuff like that happen, or they won't believe God did it. Isn't that interesting? But I see this. Those signs and wonders, those miraculous things, God did them with Moses, and now he's going to do them with Joshua, so the people will follow Joshua. Now watch this thing. We start out early. We get to see the extraordinary. Look down at verse 6. We got to set the example. Now the example gets set for everybody. Watch this. Verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Do you notice who's talking to the priest here? Joshua is. This is so important in your Bible. You are to highlight this whole verse that Joshua was starting to tell him priests what to do. Prior to this command right here, they were under Moses, who was a Levite, Aaron, who was a Levite, and now for the first time in your Bible, the Levites are getting commanded by an Ephraimite.
Yeah.
You know what that's the type of? That's the type of somebody that's going to come out of the tribe of Judah that's going to have a better priesthood than the Aaronic priesthood in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15 through 7, and he'll command the priests. And this just ended in the millennial reign of Christ. Guess who the priest is? It's not the tribe of Levi. It's going to be all the born-again believers. That's why you don't need to preach now. You is one.
Right.
People wonder why we preach against such false religious systems. It's because if we don't, you'll be trying to confess your sins to me by the end of the day. And I don't want to hear it. Right. I'm liable to blackmail you and try to get something out of it. I'm not kidding. Tell me. You'll see. For the record, if you're listening by tape, that was a joke. Now listen, you got to set the example at this point. The example we see Joshua saying to the priests, take up the ark, pass over before the people. And then we see this, they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. How far away were they supposed to be again?
Half a mile.
Do you realize that sometimes God's going to have you take up your ark and get separated from the camp, get way out there as an example to the other people? He may not keep you around to being the buddy system back here. He may put you way up here and say, I want you to follow them. So, Lord, that don't make sense. It don't have to. God said it. And when God says it, and God said we could, it'll be okay. If they'd have done this any other way, those waters we're going to read about, I don't want to give away the end of the chapter, but they do part the waters. Just like God said. And we look at this thing and we see that God's going to do this according to this plan, this way. But before he could do all that, he had to have somebody where Joshua commanded them. They grabbed the thing and started walking as an example. And when they got so far up, the example was, there they are, here you are, now you start. You know what that lets me know? I ain't got to always be up here in the limelight. I can be back here and be in the will of God. I just got to be where God tells me to be at.
Amen.
See, listen, you start out early. You see the extraordinary happen around you. And then you set the example after you start following God. People are wanting to lead the people of God. They don't even follow the Lord. And listen, God ain't looking for the leaders in the church. He's looking for the humble. He's not looking for you to climb the denominational ladder or the camp meeting ladder or the conference ladder or whatever. He's looking for you to crawl in the prayer closet. That's where he does business at with people. He's not looking for people to spend $42.4 million to give to six seminaries that attack the Bible a year.
Come on.
He's looking for you to believe the Bible you've got in your hand and follow him. He's not looking for you to send off everybody that says they call to preach off somewhere where they don't know everybody. He's looking for you to train them where you're at.
Yeah.
He's looking for you to get along with him and the example be set by what you go through. And then when it don't make sense, you follow God.
Yeah.
The average Bible college student, when they first start off in Bible college, if they have to move somewhere to where there is a Bible-believing college that will teach them the King James Bible, they all go through the same thing. And some of you have been through it. Let me tell you how it goes. You've got a job and your pay is way up here and you're comfortable. God calls you in the ministry and you start preparing for the ministry and God says, I want that job. It's okay, I got this one. I'll move down to that town where that Bible college is. And what I'll do is I'll get me a job paying that. And you get down there and Wendy's is the only one hiring. Worked there before, friend. Had to stay up 2 o'clock in the morning to close the stupid store, sweep up lettuce and hamburger meat that got there somehow. Looked like a cookie monster been back there eating. And that's just the grill there. The lobby looked a whole lot worse. And you go out there and do all that for minimum wage, and you got to get up at 6 o'clock next morning and start all over again. And you get out of class, you got just enough time to study, and go back to that stupid job again where you got to sweep up the lettuce and hamburger meat for nothing. And you think, wait a minute, I had this job. Yeah, but now you ain't got that job. And now every meal's prayed for. And every meal's prayed in. I've watched men come out of $250,000 houses move into a $10 trailer park and then complain about the holes in the floor. And then they realize one day, if there wasn't no holes in the floor, they'd get no breeze on the hot, sunny day.
Amen.
And you know what God does? They spend about 2 to 4 years or something like that, and all of a sudden they humble. God uses them. They studied the Bible through and through. Their family's together. Then God puts them in a church somewhere, and what do? They set the example. They set the example. What are they doing there? Living for the Lord. And after they've been there a little while, they find out something. God put them there because this person needed to learn this. But they had to watch them follow afar off where they could get a hold of the thing. You ever feel like God's got you at the back of the pack? He may not have you at the back. He may have you back there as an example so the people behind you can follow the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of examples we set in life, and here's the best one we got. In that verse, when he tells them to do what they do, they done it. Just simple. And it's that simple for you and I to follow Jesus Christ. He shows us what to do, we do it. He tells us plainly how to do it. I've heard people argue, well, not a woman can preach. Let me tell you something. You know why God don't let y'all preach? Y'all split every church you had if you had one. You're so mean. You can't preach till you're mad. So you could do a better job theoretically than most men. But the one that you love, God, he said do it this way.
Right, yes.
Lord, that don't make sense. I don't care if it makes sense. Let me tell you something else don't make sense. You love this one. Husbands, blank, your wife in Ephesians 5. What does it say?
Love.
But it never tells the wife to love her husband. You know why? God built that into her.
Right.
But you stubborn men, you got to learn. You get married as, hey, baby. And about 5 years later, she's like, ah, you again. Get them feet up off my coffee table. Quit throwing your clothes on the floor. And you think, oh my God, she wants a divorce. No, she's trying to get you to grow up.
Come on.
So how's she going to do that? Well, she set an example for 5 years and you wouldn't watch. Now she's going to tell you. So why do I got to do that? Because people don't know how to parent their children no more, if you want the truth.
Well,
I look here and I see something. An example being set. You and I set that example. It don't make any sense. It don't make a lot of things in the Bible you get to read. It don't make any sense. But we're not following them by what makes sense. We're following by faith. And the things we follow God by faith for, you know what God does? Honors every line and precept of it and has never been a debtor to any man over it. What did he say, do? Pick this box up and walk that way. And when they get a half mile up the road, y'all start following. Well, why couldn't God just part it without that box being there? I don't know, but God said do it this way. We're picking up this box. We're going to walk that way. The Levite's going to carry it. And we're going to walk half mile behind him just because that's what God said.
Right.
It's simple. So what happens if you do that? You set an example. You do what God says. You'll find out something. Maybe some Christians around your life will say, you know, they followed the Lord. Maybe if I thought, Lord, bless me instead of all these heartaches and headaches I'm taking. And I'm starting getting ahead instead of spending my tires right here in this mud hole. Y'all ever been there before? We wonder when you'd give up. Well, if I know y'all's watching, I'd have still been doing it. I'd have showed you. I'd have been there right now doing it here 5 years later. Or I'd wait till they all left and act like I was just over there taking a break and I'd call Turkey and told him to get the roll back and get it in a hurry. One or the other. But I'm telling you, friend, God's Word tells us plain right here that what we're supposed to do is we're just supposed to do what God says. It don't have to make sense. Why are we going to do it that way? Well, God said we could. God said we could. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.